doubt. Anybody had doubt? Isn't it one of those thoughts that accompany us throughout our lifetime? It's so common. And I wondered, how do we face doubt? How do we deal with it? How do we overcome? You remember the disciples telling Jesus that they believed? And immediately after they said, Lord, help us, right? With our unbelief. It's like they're connected somehow. We want to experience the strength and the power of faith, but somehow there's always that shaky feeling. Any journey of life raises these questions. And as we read, any journey is usually taken in stages, right? And that's what long distance traveling is all about. It's about stages. In the older days, just to get from anywhere to anywhere, it would take days, weeks, months, right? To reach any faraway destination. Whether you were using a horse, a donkey, a camel, or if you were walking, it just took a long time to journey anywhere. Of course, today we have airplanes, and we think that we can travel the whole world in a snap, but even as we have all this technology, we still have stages in our travels. I remember going to Spain with my wife a few years ago, and we flew all the way from Seattle to France, and we had a layover. From there, we went to Madrid. We had to stay overnight, and I tell you, those were the smaller beds I have ever slept in. And then the next day, we get up, and we had to take a train to go down south. And after that, somebody had to pick us up. And then we traveled about another hour and a half to get to our destination. I mean, there's always stages. Even as we think we can do it in no time, still, there are things that are happening. And we had designed these stages ourselves. That meant that I have planned it, right? I didn't plan the hotel, but anyway. We knew the outline. You know, we knew what was coming. But Israel started on a journey that was fairly unique. They had God, basically a column of a cloud and fire, depending whether it was day or night, that was guiding them through instructions given to God's prophet Moses. No one knew the outline. No one knew where they were going to stop next. No one knew the route that they were going to take. And even the destination that was promised to them was very unfamiliar to them, because all they had heard was stories about it from their ancestors. And now they arrive at Horeb, the exact place that God had called Moses from the burning bush. You remember that, right? This is where Moses first heard God's voice. And the people are burning with thirst. They're struggling. And as we saw last week, you know, there's two experiences here. The experience of the leader, right? Moses. And the experience of the people. And we'll look at them once more. First, the people. For anyone that says that Israel did not have faith just because they complained all the time, let me just say this. They were following a cloud. All right? And that's all that's needed. And still, there are situations in the human experience that test us. Whether it's disasters or family circumstances, work, church. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, no. Well, you'll find out. I mean, there's just things that happen in life. Even our own concept of ourselves sometimes gets in the way and it causes crisis. There are stages of life that we go through and we don't understand. We don't know where they're taking us. Life in general is just a bunch of challenges, aren't they? And it seems like we get over one and then we want to relax. Right? There's no time for that. Israel had engaged in a journey that really took him through stages, just like our stages in life. Now they experienced joy as when they fled from the Egyptians. You remember, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that they were happy. Right? And also they experienced disappointment. They experienced disappointment as they encountered the real threat of death by starvation. And now in this scene here, death by thirst. Anybody been in the desert for more than a day? Yeah. I know this. I know that you can last for a little bit in the desert, right? But without water, what happens? Right. I heard someone say that you can live without food, right, for about a month. But without water, we will not last more than 4 or 5 days. In the desert, when it's hot, that cuts down the time to about a third. So here they are. Without water for themselves, without water for the flocks. And when I was reading this, I got reminded of the words of Jesus to the Samaritan woman. Remember that scenario? Jesus approaches this Samaritan woman and says, "Please give me water." And says, "Who are you to ask me for water?" And says, "Don't worry, if you knew, right? Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty." The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. There's a song in Puerto Rico that we sing. And it says that Christ is that rock of Horeb, and it flows with water. Cristo es la peña de Horeb que está brotando agua de vida saludable para mí. And it's a beautiful song. I'm not going to go all the way through it because I'll get emotional. I'm sorry. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Sounds good, right? It sounds really good. But the need of the people of Israel was an immediate matter. They needed that now or else. It was a matter of life and death. And I don't know about you, but they doubted, right? And I don't know if you would do the same thing. But if I find myself in circumstances that are way out beyond my control, and I was facing death, I would probably do the same. Of course, they had not heard Jesus' words like we have. But what we do know is that their experience needed an outlet. And at that point, they complain. Right? Like we spoke of last week. They complain. And they complain to Moses. Now, let's talk about Moses. He's the one in the middle, right? Anybody been in middle management? Right? If you laugh, you know what I'm talking about. Right? You know, you work and you work and you work so you can make it there. And then when you're there, like, no! No! Right? You're being attacked from everywhere. So here's Moses. Moses is in the middle. And as a leader, he's charged to make decisions for these people, to care for them, to lead them and guide them into the wilderness to their destination. And of course, Moses knows that he was not on his own. He also had faith. Because when God called him, Moses put up all the walls, right? He put up all the excuses. He put up all the barriers that he could so that God would choose somebody else. He knew, probably, what was coming. He had been in middle management before. But it was God himself who sent them on this errand. And I don't know, I think that God somehow knew that Moses had enough, had what it takes. Even as incapable as he was, even as incapable as he thought of himself, God knew something about him. And notice that Moses inquired of the Lord, right? When you're in trouble, what happens? Who do you look to? Oh, that's right. Wikipedia. That's where all the answers are. No? He inquires of the Lord, saying that he was worried that he might be killed. He was worried that he was going to be stoned. And this is not a game of I'll throw you a stone and you throw me another one. They're going to kill this guy. And he inquires of the Lord and says, Lord, help. He doesn't know what to do. He is literally between a rock and a hard place, right? Now, as a leader, there are circumstances that go way beyond anyone's capacity. way beyond anyone's ability. And who do we trust? Who do we trust? Who do we put our lives in their hands? So this is the prescription. It's given to Moses. Moses is to go ahead of the people and take some of their representatives, the elders. And when I read that, I had to check it out. It says that the term in the Hebrew signifies that Moses is going to walk in front of them. It's not necessarily that he was going to go ahead as an envoy. He said he was going to walk in front of them. You know, as commanders, when they're checking out their troops, right? You know what they do? They sort of, you know, take the posture, right? Start checking them out. They walk in front of them, see if they're ready. In this case, Moses was going like, oh my God. But he was supposed to walk in front of them. The idea of a commander walking in front of the troops is to inspire confidence. And there's Moses having to go ahead of them, and he's like, please don't. Don't throw the first stone. The other part of the instruction was to take what? His staff. Right? You remember the staff. The staff meant that this was all the equipment that he needed. Now, he did not need special knowledge. He did not need a course of the ethics of water management. He did not need a license to carry the staff or a theological treatise to debate about his actions. He did not need any of that. All that he needed was God and what God had seen in him. Just the tool that he used with the sheep. And you know what about that tool? The staff, right? You know what happened when they faced the Red Sea?
Right.
What? Amazing. Amazing what that tool was able to accomplish. Not because of Moses' hand, but because of the God of Moses. Now he was going to be handy again, but Moses did not know that at the time. So he's probably shaking in his boots, sandals, and he hears the instructions, strike the rock. Strike the rock. Now, in light of the events that we have experienced in the past few weeks, and even the massacre that happened this week in Las Vegas, in light of the sadness that's been felt, the impotence against the forces of nature and the forces of an armed man, we screwed up purposes. We may be saying, not again. Not again. Here we are, facing another disaster. And this is probably what was going on through the minds of the Israelites. They were probably saying that same thing when the water got scarce. Not again. Not again, God, why in the world are you? Right? Why in the world are you doing this? The circumstances were way beyond them. And now the circumstances are way beyond us. What do you do? Do we complain? And to whom do we complain? To our leaders? Or do we cry out to God? What do? In circumstances like this. Whatever we do, we're still going to follow in the journey. And I'll tell you why. Because God has given us a promise. Hello? You see, Israel kept following Moses, not because they were very brave, not because they had all it took, but because God had made a promise, and even in light of the promise, they doubted. Their confidence shook. They were real. Real human beings, just like you and I. But God, as we spoke about last week, has made a covenant with Israel. And he has made a covenant with us. That he will be our God. And we are going to be his people. Whether we have doubts or whether we don't, God has still promised to be with us. And whether we have the skills or whether we don't, and whether we have the materials necessary to do what is needed or we don't, God has covenanted with us. And maybe, just maybe, God has called us. Oh my gosh. You see, now it becomes more just of a passive thing. Maybe God has called us, and he called Moses. Do you feel the burning bush? Because maybe God is calling us in the midst of the trouble. In the midst of the crying out of the people, to be faithful, even when we're powerless. Even amid the loss and the death, even in the middle of the family circumstances, and the situations that come around us, even in the middle of our doubt, in our fear, maybe God is still calling us because he sees something in us. One day at a time. Heard that before? Yes. One day at a time. One step at a time. Take one step in front of the other. Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. I just have one exhortation for you today. Seek. Seek the water that only Jesus offers. And use what you have. Hi? Hello? You see, you don't have to use what others have. Use what you have. Maybe it's a stick. I'm sure that God has given you skills. I'm sure that God has somehow equipped you to overcome big disasters in your life. If you face any circumstances where you say, not again, when you face any situation or any not again moment, remember this. Israel ended up with water to drink. Hello? Yeah, that was the spot. Yes. Israel ended up with water in the middle of the desert where there was none. You are an amazing God. We're saying that right. I still believe that God is amazing. And I still believe that some of us experience that same doubt, that same pain, the freakiness, anxiety, call it whatever you know, right? Nayoka, she knows. Nayoka knows because it seems like it's not again every week, this woman. I know that somehow they got manna, food, and water in the desert where there's none to be produced by human hands. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again and we ask you that you help us to see ourselves in a different light. We ask you again that even through all the studies that we've been doing in Genesis and Exodus, that you help us to see ourselves in the light of your eyes, not in the light of our own experience. And I know that is difficult. And I know in our humanity, we experience all the doubt, all the questions, and we may not even get it. We don't understand. But I guess that's what faith is about. Just to see ahead of us. To see that there is a way. There is a solution. And even if no solution appears, there's still you. And we just want to hang on to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.